All right, guys, big episode of the Northeast Podcast. We break down the Oscars, talk Dune on the big screen and TV, Fallout, hype, Poor Things. Here we go. And here we go, Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Jim. Jim, how is it going?
It's going great, Eric. Eric, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm happy because friend of the pod, Adam, is back for another episode this week.
Yeah, let's go.
Screencast. It was fun. I mean, he did well enough, we thought, on the sports. So we thought, let's run it back. And here we are.
Yeah, that's where we are. So happy to have you. Lots to talk about. And as always, we need you guys to give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Northeast Podcast and subscribe anywhere that you guys get your favorite podcast from and get the Northeast Podcast directly to your phone or your device each and every week for free.
What a deal. Love it. Love it.
It's a fucking killer deal.
That's a great deal.
No ads, you notice? You got anything to plug? I mean, we got time.
I really don't. I can't take anything.
Hey, I just want everyone to know one thing. There's a lot of ways, a lot of really, really easy. We wouldn't even have to work. Mm. We could just literally push a button and then there would be ads in our podcast.
Right.
But we don't want the money.
The problem is we haven't spent the time to look up and see how much money that would be. As long as we never look that up, there's no chance. Yeah. But yes, we could automate ads on here, and they would be much worse than us talking about mattresses even.
Yeah, but we don't want to do that because we want to continue giving you this amazing product the way that you're getting it.
It's for the love
all
of the game.
All natural.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Jim, what are we drinking here?
All right, so this one's kind of exciting. We got a Toppling Goliath. Which is what, second time in 2 weeks, I think?
Yeah, they always have cool stuff now.
Yeah, and this is the Haze Smacker IPA. It's a hazy, and it's got a lot of hops in it, and it's good. What do you guys think?
I think that I've complained enough about hazy beers.
Yeah.
That I'm starting to be able to like have them again.
Okay, so you were hazed out.
I was hazed out.
And now you're hazing back in slightly.
Yeah, it's kind of like bittered out from West Coast for like 2 years of my life where I like couldn't have a West Coast again.
Okay.
And then now I'm cool with it again. So I think these beer trends, they just cycle. We just go back to the same things and once in a while we add a new ingredient or a new hop.
I love it.
That's exactly how I roll.
That's how you roll?
I go around the block all the time. Yeah. I mean, I'm on the haze train right now. Don't see it stopping anytime soon.
We're real haze smackers over here.
Sour season is right around the corner. So.
Ooh, I do. Hey, sours can make a comeback in my book. I'm ready again.
I'm ready for those.
Just the light ones, not the thick ones.
Thick ones. All right, so here we go. Lots to talk about today. First thing, do we care? The Oscars.
Yeah. Oscars happen.
I was like not excited for the Oscars. Like I was like at home.
But you watched them, some of them.
I watched some of them. And I will say like my wife was like, the Oscars are on. Let's turn it on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do we watch that?
You didn't remember your relationship and if that's part of it?
I was just like, I don't know if we watched the Oscars. But I was like, I guess I don't really have anything else to put on. So sure. And I thought for the most part, it was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah.
I thought it was like fun, like more fun than other award shows.
I think that I generally watch the Golden Globes because it's just like all the celebrities are drunk and they don't give a fuck.
Yes.
And it's just kind of a good time. And plus they got TV, they got movies. I like
the
that.
TV guys are there. That's nice.
I know. And they need some love. Absolutely. And then I watch the Oscars. And you watched last night too, Adam.
Well, here and there, but I'm more like cut up on the old Twitter machine.
Yes, which is just as good.
So,
because really all you need is the clips.
What were the big winners?
I mean, Oppenheimer, I think everybody knew. It absolutely cleaned up. I think the bigger surprise was probably Poor Things from Yorgos Lanthimos. Just that they won so many of like the costume, makeup, production. They won sound, which was really surprising. And then they nabbed Emma Stone as best actress, which was really surprising. Everybody kind of thought that was going to go to Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon. And that's what I had predicted. Although now having seen both, Emma Stone acted her ass off in Poor Things, dude. She does everything. it's an pretty impressive movie. I think we're even going to talk about it a little bit later, but that was maybe the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah.
And she was clearly surprised. Like, if you watch her, she was, I mean, she was very endearing. It was like the opposite of Anne Hathaway when she won, if you can imagine that.
It was a perfect reaction, I thought. Honestly.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like, you could see she was like, I want Lily to win this, but like, I'm pretty psyched for myself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all the realization that she won kind of came over.
It's nice to get the Oscar when you do that much nudity. As it was, you know,
you earned it.
It's like, dude, it's like if you do all that nudity and you win like a Razzie, you'll always regret it.
Right.
You do that much nudity, you win the Oscar.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Well, and you know, I was you know, snooping around today and kind of found a little thread on like about this whole thing, and I thought it was really interesting that they're saying that, you know, Lily Gladstone was only in Killers of the Flower Moon for maybe 40 minutes.
Okay. So, and it's a 3.5-hour movie.
Yeah. So they could have literally thrown her into that best supporting actress category and easily won.
Yeah.
I think that she would have dominated that category.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. And there was a lot going on, and she was really fucking good in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Fantastic.
But she didn't do a lot.
No.
She kind of like, she was very stoic, and she portrayed a lot with her eyes, which is very hard to do. And you watch Poor Things and you got Emma Stone learning to talk and running around and dancing and, you know, doing physical comedy. And dude, nobody's worked harder for their best actress than she did. So
who would
props
have
her
that, you know, the gal from Superbad would be a 2-time.
I know.
It's incredible.
She's one of the best. She's one of our best actresses working. She's fantastic. So I was psyched on that. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, really, those were the kind of the two that cleaned up.
I think the big moments were, I thought Kimmel was pretty funny.
I thought he did great. I
thought he was pretty funny, and I thought that the live time Trump tweet was really fucking funny.
That was an actual tweet.
Yes.
Yeah.
He literally tweeted
part.
Talking shit about him during the show. He read it and then made fun of him. I thought it was really funny. I thought that the Cena thing was great. It was hilarious.
John Cena coming up. Yeah.
Is so funny. He is starting to become one of the big comedy stars in all of Hollywood at this point. Anything he's in, he steals the show. And I thought this was really funny. I did, like, as a you know, a person who's still on Twitter, you know, has it's like, you know, in Lord of the Rings, when like the dark like clouds and stuff like come over everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Lord of the Rings, so I can't really talk about it in better detail than that.
There's clouds, yeah.
Yeah, it's like just darkness everywhere.
It's either
like,
clouds or not.
It's
mostly
like soot.
Is what I remember.
But it's like soot or clouds or something. Like everything's like dark and stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's happened to Twitter, I feel like. Like every mention, there's just like a bunch of bots talking shit. And then there's like, this kid died when his head got crushed by a brick.
You must follow morbid knowledge. Like,
yeah.
No, but it's like, I didn't. And now it just is always on my feed.
Yes.
And, you know, so.
A lot of death.
Elon's ruined it. That's why I still have the actual Twitter app.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
What?
Yes, I've never upgraded.
Wow, I love that.
But, you know, like through this, I noticed a lot of people were saying this was a conspiracy and that John Cena was being forced to perform a humiliation ritual.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe the number of people that were talking about this on there. Like
this was his
yes.
This is like the Cat Williams thing?
This is disgusting, and now he's going to get better roles because of it, but this is horrible.
Now this motherfucker. You're going to see him be getting an Oscar in a couple years. I ain't never suck a dick, I tell you that. Yeah, I guess, you know, people bought into that, and that's kind of the thing now, is that, like, you know, and then there's plenty of actors that would say that's ridiculous.
I thought it was really funny, so I thought that was great. And then the moment of the show, to me, was I'm Just Ken.
Oh, I think that's what everybody was waiting for.
I'm Just Ken was, I mean, I don't know that there's someone who's has more charisma than Ryan Gosling at this point.
Ryan, best Ryan in Hollywood?
By a lot.
Yeah.
By a lot.
Gosling's really come into his own. He finally
can't miss.
He finally passed Seacrest.
Yeah, right. I mean, Seacrest, the things he's done for fame, you wouldn't even believe it. But, dude, he can't miss. And he's just as funny as he is charismatic, as he is, you know, taking serious roles.
I think funny is actually his strength.
Yeah.
I do. I actually think, like, when I think of, what was the movie we liked so much? The Nice Guys?
He's so good.
He's so funny.
Where's the second one?
I know.
Seriously.
He's so funny in that. And like in this, like he doesn't ever take himself too seriously. And so he's just so able to just like enjoy the moment. But also, like someone said, this is the guy who went all out for a SNL digital short.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy doesn't phone in anything.
The Christmas one?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about the graphic designer one.
Yeah. Oh, the Avatar. Papyrus for the Avatar font, which is, as a graphic designer, you must have really loved that one.
Oh, my gosh.
I was thinking the Christmas one with Vanessa Bayer, where he's like, bring the fat man down. And he's like causing like this horrible scene at the dinner party.
But it's just like he doesn't phone in anything. This dude gives his all to everything.
Yeah.
I thought this was like a huge moment.
That was great.
Out Slash too. Like,
yeah.
It was like so mannish of him.
You needed for some reason Slash is the guy. He's actually the only Hollywood guitarist. For some reason. It's gotta be him or nobody.
Yes.
Is there any other famous guitarists? I thought there were, but
maybe.
Yeah.
But everybody still, fucking hates the Edge.
He's already tired from all his big run at the Sphere.
Yeah.
So, overall, I thought the Oscars was pretty good. I just want to touch on one other thing that happened over the weekend. Was the best performance that we're going to see all year in anything Scarlett Johansson on SNL?
I didn't watch SNL this week yet.
Oh, you didn't even see the clip.
Was
no, was she there to make fun of Colin Jost?
No, she was there to start the show, doing her version of the rebuttal to the State of the Union as
Katie Britt.
Oh, that's good.
And it was
she crushed. So I can't believe I haven't seen that. I feel like that's supposed to be my wheelhouse.
I don't know that
you were trying to set me up for.
I don't know that she's ever done a better job with anything in acting.
Amazing.
Really? So they put her in a brunette wig and in a kitchen. They put her in a kitchen where she belongs.
She was like, because women love kitchen.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what she said.
Oh, all right, dude. I'm late. I got it on my DVR.
It was like 4 minutes of perfection. Like,
oh, wow.
She just tore this whole thing up. So
okay. That's impressive. I love that.
I mean, we've already lost a very small fraction of our audience with SNL and Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, that has eliminated like 4% of our listeners
right away.
They were like, those things are not funny. all right. Next up, this is something that I don't think we're hearing enough about, and that scares me a little bit.
Okay.
And that is Acolyte coming to Disney Plus. This is like a live action Disney show, Star Wars. I'm really pumped about it because... I don't really know why I'm pumped about it.
Okay.
But I am.
I can tell. I mean, probably because you've heard awesome things that you aren't thinking of right now.
Yes.
So it does have a great cast. I don't have that in front of me. But I'll tell you, it's from like the High Republic era. So you're going to get, you know, like just the tendrils of the dark side coming in. You're going to get, you know, the actual power structure of like when Jedi were at their peak, which is always interesting. And it's supposed to be an adult-themed show. It's not supposed to be this, like, you know, kids, like, let's try to make it as cute as possible or appeal to everybody. This is like...
Okay, it has one of my favorite actresses in it.
Yeah, who's in it?
Daphne Keene.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she is the Acolyte.
And
she's so good.
Daphne Keene. I think she is. I've never seen something that she was in that I didn't like.
So this thing, according to production schedule, was supposed to be released in March. Which it's March, mid-March. Ides of March, almost. Does that mean, like, it's all fucked up? Why haven't they shown us a trailer? Why haven't they... I don't know. I'm a little concerned. But it should be out anytime. It's coming out this year. It has to.
I mean, it just says the Acolyte's first trailer rumored to be coming soon.
Daphne Keene is the little Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Wasn't she good in that?
That Wolverine movie was sick.
Logan,
that's what it was.
We love that one.
It has a tentative release date. This is as of 3 weeks ago, and that is June 5th now.
Okay. All right. Moving it out a little bit. A little post-production. Let's hope they loved it so much that they're like, let's put a couple more CG shots in there. Let's give it some extra budget.
I think if we, have anything to go by, Disney Plus shows have been all amazing.
Do you like Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No, it was it was my most anticipated show, and I hated it.
God.
It was so fucking bad. Out of here
if you guys said, "Oh, we loved it." Yeah. I literally thought that was the worst acting I've ever seen in my entire life.
Dude, it was so bad. but you know what we did really like was the Andor.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was perfection.
Andor was great. Ahsoka was good. Most of the rest of the stuff has been pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's hope. Let's just hope. Let's hope we hear some good news soon on when that's coming out, because I actually am excited about it.
Okay. So, maybe it could be a contender for the TV show title belt. But in reality, I don't think that it can, because what else is coming out a similar time in the summer is Severance season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fucking go.
You like that
Severance
one?
We're big
Severance guys here. Did we give Severance the title 2 years ago? It would
probably
have been this year.
Here's my thing with Severance. I think that it is ridiculous that more people don't talk about this show. Like, I feel like this is a show that nobody watched, but every person who did watch it is like in on the secret.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That it's like A-plus level television.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it to so many people that the last episode in the show, I'm not going to spoil anything.
Please don't.
But it was on par with Red Light, Green Light from Breaking Bad, which are the two most epic episodes of TV in the world. Just left your jaw just dropped. And I was on the edge of my seat throughout that entire fucking episode of Severance. It was incredible. And the acting is so good. And it's like, they've only touched on this world. Like, it can be expanded so much.
Which makes it so exciting.
Yes.
So did you know this? Like, I've talked about this one other time on here, but when I was really feeling it with Severance, I was like reading articles about it because I like needed more content and like wanted to know more about the mystery. And so what I found out was that Severance put out a training manual on like Apple Books. Did you check this out at all?
No, I heard about this.
And so they literally had like a training manual. And so it was like giving clues to kind of like what the job is. And like, I think it has to do with like people dying in accidents or fake accidents or something like that. It's like pretty dark, whatever it is.
I hope so. It's
and
gotta
so
be dark.
It was like people dying of like bombs or like cars getting like thrown off the road and stuff. Like, it was pretty intense, but there is a whole bunch of like weird Easter eggs that they've put out in different ways. And it just kind of reminds me of like Lost a little bit.
Yes,
like absolutely. What if Lost would have hit when the internet was like a little further along?
The show would have been better.
It
for sure.
Been,
because
if it wasn't on ABC.
They would have had some, I've been like, wait, people are keeping track of what we put out there. Oh, they're talking about this. Okay, well, you better really sit down and make this serious, because it was wild. But also, you know, Mr. Robot had a ton of crazy marketing, too.
Yes.
Really, really cool. As a show about the internet, they better, right? And I'm getting all those vibes. I'm getting vibes from both of those. It was one of those shows where, you know, as me, I'm supposed to be the guy that watches everything for a few episodes.
Jimmy Channels.
Okay. And so I actually like texted this whole group chat after my first episode, and I'm just like, you guys, I usually watch at least a couple before I put this on people's radar, but something is happening here. I'm gonna keep watching it right now, literally right now, because I can watch two or three right now, but just what the fuck, something needs to
I think you were like pretty subdued about it.
Yeah,
you were like, I think that this show is gonna be really cool, but I don't really know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you were like, I think maybe you should check it out. And then I was
And then like 2 hours later, I was like, everybody, you need to watch this now.
And I watched
all three episodes.
And I had already been in like a couple episodes, and I was like right behind you. Like, this show is unbelievable. Like, we just, he literally just sent one message, and then it just blew up on all of our screens. And so I couldn't be more excited about this. Adam Scott, is that his name?
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, this is the role of a lifetime for this guy. I know that nobody will think that, because for some reason I've realized the older I get, that everybody is watching network television
still. Yeah.
And I don't understand it. People are like, yeah, I don't really watch anything other than
Station 19.
I watch a lot of Chicago and
911,
Chicago Fire, Chicago Police, Chicago Lawyer.
Yep.
Chicago Detective. And then I also watch Young Sheldon. And I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's our audience on here. Maybe some of the people here are watching that stuff. But
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this. I think this is the best thing that Apple has put out. And I think at this point it might be my most anticipated show of the summer.
Ooh. Okay.
I guess that and House of the Dragon.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah, there is that. And I don't know. I'm more excited for Severance for sure, because I know what I'm going to get with House of the Dragon. It's going to be sick.
Yep.
It's going to be cool. House but of the Dragon this, is I don't know be, what I'm going to get
nope,
with this. And
no idea.
Yeah. So that makes it exciting.
House of the Dragon is going to be amazing, but it's going to have at least one really, really graphic, nasty birthing scene.
You know what would be so funny? Let's have like a dragon just struggling to lay eggs.
Yes.
Just blah, blah, blah. It's just blood shooting everywhere. They stick with it for like 7-8 minutes.
I mean, I honestly would say that House of the Dragon season one, I would say it's one of the only TV shows that I've ever watched that
eggs fucking cracked. It's like, no!
It's one of the only shows that I've watched that I was sweating. Like, while I was watching it, I was like wiping sweat from my face because it was like that disgusting and stressful to me.
Yes.
So I'm not looking forward to that part of that, but yeah, Severance, as long as they don't do that, it might be our title.
That would be surprising.
Luckily there is not a lot of that going on.
Yeah. Right.
Well, speaking of HBO and Max, it sounds like finally, after like a lot of failed attempts and a lot of rumors, we're finally going to be getting the Dune show coming to Max called Dune Prophecy.
Yeah.
Not their original plan.
So, Adam, what was this used to? Children, it's gone through a few.
Yeah, The Children of Dune.
Okay.
Which is based off the book Children of Dune.
Like, yeah.
I'm not sure. It,
is Children anything. Of Dune the book a prequel?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I believe.
I'm not really sure.
All
honestly.
Right. Well.
I think.
Let's go with it. Nobody's fact-checking.
Yeah. No, actually, I think the, if I remember the timeline right, it might actually be before God Emperor, but I'm not really sure. I think it's a Frank Herbert book. I don't think it's written by his son.
Right. Which you, apparently you want to avoid those.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. Yeah. He has no idea what he's doing. He's like, oh, I'm written off my dad's notes. It's like, how big was this sheet of paper?
Yeah.
Like, right. You've written like 11 books, dude. Yeah.
Like, there's no more notes left.
There's definitely no more notes. But yeah, it's changed titles a few times, and it's also changed showrunners a few times. So
that makes you nervous.
A little sketchy.
The title is whatever. You know, originally, I think, well, when I heard about it, it was going to be Sisterhood. And they're like, well, it's about the Bene Gesserit. I'm like, well, that's interesting. That'll be cool. Now they're calling it Prophecy, and it's going to be 10,000 years before the stuff on the show, which I think is like 10,000 years after us now, right? Isn't it like supposed to be 20,000 years in the future or something like that?
I believe so.
Okay, we're going to go with that. And I want them to make it. I want to see more. I just, we're going to have to accept that if it comes out this year, which I think it's still supposed to, it's not going to be what we're seeing from Denis.
No.
We're going to have to separate it and not kind of allow it to, like, even if it's pretty good, to taint what they're doing with the Dune movies. Maybe that's what they're worried about. They're like, let's just have them do three and then we'll wait, you know?
I think that'd be a good call. So
yeah.
It's not so fresh in people's mind. There's not that, you know, like, anticipation, like, mm-hmm. Oh my god, this is gonna be exactly epic as what we saw in the theater, because it's never gonna be that way.
Yeah, it's, I like, mean, what we're seeing,
he's got
is
his own style.
Special, yeah,
it's special as fuck. Like,
yeah,
yeah, I mean, all we can hope for is it just to be like a little bit more of that universe, just opening up more of it and not being so fucking weird, which all these books apparently eventually
they get weirder and weirder.
I was reading about weird, it turns people
half human, half cat people that have superpowers essentially. It's all sort of that. It's sci-fi, so it is based in science. Everything we've seen apparently is based in science, whether it's, you know, the spice affecting the molecules, whatever.
Well, I mean,
there's something there. It's hard sci-fi. But I mean, let them get weird, but let's like at least get this trilogy done, because I am so psyched on it that I don't want them to, you know, taint it or, you know, be influenced by the show to the next movie. So I don't know. But it's,
either way,
it's, eventually they're going to just make it until it sucks.
Yes.
We know that.
They're going to run that well dry.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But hey, I mean, this could be good. You never know. And we like the universe.
And
so
it is HBO.
It is, which used to mean something. it used to mean something. Yeah.
It really did. Yeah, I can't wait for this. I feel like HBO is just confused about where to go with this. Like, I feel like Denis is so in control of where this is going that without him being like a showrunner for this, I feel like they're just so worried that they're going to take another misstep with a golden property for them.
Yeah, I think that they'll keep delaying it until they fucking love it.
Yeah.
And as they should.
It will be like 50 day emperor.
Yeah.
All right, how about this? We're getting more live action Avatar. Is this worth watching?
It depends how much time you have, I guess. It's not very good.
Can you describe the tone to me?
The tone is like, I mean, it's a kid's show ultimately, but it's kind of like has some cool, pretty intense fight scenes, you know, obviously using
what do they
elements,
fight with?
Rocks, flames,
okay.
Water,
okay, that
wind,
makes sense.
Right?
Which one would you choose?
Dude, it seems like the rock people are fucking everybody up. Like, just throw a rock at their head and it's over every time. Mm. That's what I would go with so far. But I don't know much about this universe, but I watched some of the cartoon because I heard it was like, you know, this epic journey you're supposed to go on, and I couldn't get into it all the way. And then I liked this. I'm going to keep watching this. I can watch shows that are at the level of this, that are at the level of One Piece live action. Fang and Bone, I watched a season of that. I was okay with it. So this is like B-minus level shit, and they're going to do two more seasons. So I'll watch those two, probably.
This is on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and another show that we're getting in the coming weeks, Fallout.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This
looks cool,
be on?
Doesn't it? It's Prime.
It looks really cool.
Yeah.
Like, a lot like the video games. Like,
did you play those?
I didn't play a lot of them. You know, I kind of dabbled around with it, but like it, the costuming is incredible.
Yeah.
And it's got one of our favorite guys in it, which I'm sure you know who I'm talking about.
The guy that's, he's got no nose in this. What's his, the actor's name though?
You know, I wish I knew it.
Yeah.
He is one of my favorite guys.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's a weird name if I remember what.
Yeah. I'll talk for 1 second if you want to Google him up.
Yeah.
But I think that the trailers do look sick. And then we found out that on April 11th, which is less than a month away, they're going to drop all the episodes of season one, which I don't think, I think Prime has done that sometimes, and sometimes they've done episodic. So I don't know. What is it?
Walton Goggins.
Yes, Walton Goggins. See, dude, that guy has come up.
Yes.
I think I like when they all drop at once.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Game of Thrones, I think I like it when they all drop at once. Unless it's like the water cooler show that everybody is watching. And those moments seem like they're further away from us now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel like those days might be gone. And so I miss some of that. But I do think like when Stranger Things drops, it becomes like a race to finish it before you hear.
Which I don't like that though, because I used to truly have nothing going on. I mean, I don't have a lot going on now, but I read like nothing. And I was the guy that was like, I finished it. Now let me go read the articles that are talking about it.
Yeah.
And I wanted those headlines that's like, besides that episode 5 death of this main character, what did you think? And, you know, now I hate that stuff. So I'm kind of torn. When I'm really into it, I do love to be able to fire up the next episode. At the same time, I'm often behind, which is a shame.
I think that, like, one of the best feelings is you are watching the show with someone, like your significant other, you're watching the show, and it's like 11 o'clock, and you're like, you're like, yeah, it gets to the end of the episode, and then you're like, we have to watch the next one.
Yeah.
100%.
We have to watch the next one.
That is an electric thing to come to agreement on.
That is such a great feeling. Like,
it's a bonding moment.
Yeah. Like, you're just like, who cares?
We're going to be tired as fuck tomorrow.
Doesn't matter. We have to know what happens. They left us on a cliffhanger. And I think, like, to me, there's a lot of good shows like that, but, like, Stranger Things is just what pops into my head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they just are so good at being like, all right, what are you doing for the 4th of July? Because this is what you're doing for the 4th of July. And it's so true. Like, they just capture the whole world for, like, a week. And so.
And we're getting that this year, too. So that'll be fun.
I'm excited about.
Season, right? I know.
I'm excited about Fallout. I think that the Apple show's quality is good.
Well, this is on Prime.
This is on Prime.
Like we said a little bit ago.
Oh, shit. I thought it was on Apple.
But they've done some pretty good stuff. You know,
they did The Boys.
We got a couple other.
That was good.
They did The Boys.
That was good. I'm trying to think. The Boys. Oh, The Boys. I like Invincible a lot. I don't know if you watch Invincible, the cartoon. It's like a superhero animated.
No.
That's a hot wreck for you, my friend.
I think that this is. I think this is a big moment, guys.
Oh, yeah. Invincible's great.
I think this is a big moment. I just realized that Apple is significantly better than Prime.
I just realized that I don't know if Adam watched Blue Eye Samurai on Netflix.
I definitely did not watch Blue Eye Samurai.
Wow, that's a hotter wreck. That's actually the hottest wreck I can think of.
That is the wreck.
Yeah. That's the
anything with samurai in it. I'm usually on it too.
Time out. Did you watch Succession?
Yes, of course.
Did you watch The Bear?
Yes, of course.
Okay, Succession finished third for us in Show of the Year. The Bear finished first, and Blue Eye Samurai finished second.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. It's in a fucking animated show on Netflix.
See why I missed it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Animation kind of, not for me much.
Aren't you an artist?
That's how I felt, too. That's how I felt, too. Okay. And I.
Aren't you an artist? Yeah, I do it all day long. I don't want to draw anymore. Yeah. I don't want to watch anybody else draw.
Barely not.
I do it myself.
Hey, yeah. we went into the Nordies, and we were like, we can't put Blue Eye Samurai in third, could we? And then we were like, it was better than Succession, put it ahead of it. And then we got to like a debate about like, should it be first?
Yeah.
And I felt okay about not putting it first, but
it was a fun discussion. And yeah, I feel great about The Bear season 2. It was fantastic.
I'm actually saving the last episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just holding on to it.
Well, then I won't say a thing about it, but it was perfection.
Like, all I got to say is, like, you know, Copenhagen episode, the episode where Cousin goes to the upscale restaurant in Chicago.
Everything that Cousin did in that season.
Incredible. Dude.
Wow. Yeah.
So good.
So, Blue Eye Samurai is a must watch for you. Yeah, you have to watch it. So hopefully Fallout will end up being something like that for us. I do think it looks really cool. I am so on Prime. Like, they did Wheel of Time.
Garbage.
They did the Lord of the Rings
show, Rings of Power. Did you watch that one?
Yeah, it was okay.
It was yep.
It was a really big budget, boring show.
You guys like Reacher?
Didn't watch it.
You know, just for what it is. Just
Do you
just
watch it?
Yeah, of course.
Haven't watched it.
Just because the guy is so large?
He's incredibly large.
I mean, just the fact that he's so big makes it somewhat captivating.
Yeah, but like, apparently that's the books. Like, the guy is, he's actually smaller than the guy in the books. Like, He's basically Sherlock Holmes if he did steroids.
Then how the fuck did they ever put Tom Cruise in that role?
That is an odd casting. It's probably just Tom strong arming the guys at the studio. Like, hey, I know you wanted to hire Cena here, but like,
right.
I can do this a little bit better, and I'm going to do all my own stunts. Like, I can see him, you know, winning over some people over there.
Okay, all right.
All right, it's time for Hot Rex and Not Rex. We've got to move to one of the big movies that you watched, finally.
Yeah.
One of the big movies that did well at the Oscars, that was Poor Things.
Yeah, Poor Things. I really like, as far as art films, right, which you know that on this podcast, right, what do we like? We like popular movies, and we like high art TV, okay? This is art movies, but they're my favorite art movies. One of my favorites, and that's these Yorgos Lanthimos movies. And, you know, you can go watch The Lobster, you can watch The Favorite, you can watch Killing of a Sacred Deer, which is massively underrated with Colin Farrell. And I like all those movies, and this was maybe my favorite from him, Poor Things. Emma Stone is amazingly fun to watch. Like, she's got those big cartoonish eyes and so much energy, and she's playing this, like, you know, goofy, like, she's like a child in, like, an adult's body, so it's tons of physical humor. This is my favorite thing Mark Ruffalo's ever done. I fucking just actively don't like Mark Ruffalo, and now I like him, or at least I like him in this. He was great in this.
I kind of like Mark
like
Ruffalo.
Like, Rami from, did you ever watch that show on Prime?
Yeah.
So Rami's in it, and okay. He's fantastic. I like this movie. It's a wreck for anybody. You know, don't get hung up on, like, the period piece aspect of it, because it could have happened any time. It's not rooted in that. You know, it's just a fun fucking movie. Probably, maybe the most approachable movie he's made in a while, Yorgos, or ever. So, dude, this is a wreck for me. Probably going to give it, like, a 93, which is pretty damn strong.
That's really strong.
Yeah. Yeah, big Poor Things guy. And I kind of hope that Yorgos keeps making movies that are, like, this movie's batshit crazy. But it's, like, illogical. You know, it's filmed in, or it's not filmed in order or whatever, but it's presented in timeline order. So it's easy to understand what the hell's going on, as opposed to something you're like, yeah, I don't know what that was. You know, that's the art films that sometimes bug me. It's like, yeah, you made it interesting in that we don't know what's happening, and that's why it's an art film. Okay, cool. This is approachable. So I liked it a lot, man.
Okay, well, I need to know if you guys think that Masters of the Air is approachable.
What do you think, dude? I'm going to throw it to Adam.
You know, we kind of were talking about this beforehand, but, like, I'm a big Band of Brothers guy. Pacific was decent.
Yeah.
I watched Band of Brothers numerous times.
I mean, it's incredible. And
Masters of the Air is really missing the mark for me, honestly. Okay. It seems like it's the same thing.
Production value looks amazing, right? It looks good,
It's really, really beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, the story's falling flat. Mm-hmm. The characters, you don't really get to know them enough. So you're like, guy dies, you're like, well, okay, let's move on to the next guy.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Was he a main character? I'm not really sure. Like, right. That was kind of my problem with it so far.
Yeah, because by the time in Band of Brothers, when, like, the people start dying, you know them.
Yes.
Well, and here I kind of felt like they had to show you, like, some people dying early, you know, to get you hooked or whatever. Austin Butler, I liked him in Dune a lot better than here. I mean, he's certainly, he's not a bad actor.
No.
I've never seen him do anything bad.
No, he's not a bad actor.
He's a little distracting with his voice.
Is so distracting because he's so deep.
He's got a deep anaconda.
Like, he's like, apparently he had issues getting over the Elvis accent.
Yes.
In his Elvis documentary. So, like, maybe it's a little bit of that still in there, but it's distracting.
The dude reminds me in public of, like, Jared Leto, where he's just, everything he's doing is trying to be effortlessly cool, but he's trying so hard. He just really wants to be effortlessly cool. That's what I get from him.
100%. I agree, and I think it's worth a watch. 100%
yeah.
Worth a watch.
It's historical. It's historical. Accurate.
It's there's cool battle scenes.
Yeah.
The thing is it just gets a little repetitive. I hope the future episodes kind of bring us maybe on the ground a little bit.
Yeah, really. Like, we've had enough of it here.
I get the name in the air. Yeah. I get Masters there, but yeah, we need a little bit more on the characters.
More context of what else is happening in the war, I think, is important too. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wreck as far as production value, I think, and just kind of spectacle. If you're like a big war buff, maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm to the point where I'm now watching the shows that I would have kicked my ass when I was 15 for watching. The stuff that I'm like, my parents would be watching me like, this is so boring. And I'm like, this is, West Wing is sick, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm watching Succession, which is like the West Wing of our time or whatever. You know what I mean? And this is like, there's people older than me. When I watch Masters of the Air, I'm like, there are still older people, which is comforting. But I'm not old enough.
All right, so speaking of old... Coming to the end of their run, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm.
Are
mm-hmm.
you watching this season? What do you think of it so far?
I am. I am watching it. I didn't watch the latest.
Yeah, this latest one, I'm going to spoil one piece. Lori Loughlin, is that her name?
Yeah.
Lori
yeah.
Loughlin?
I think so. Yeah, the Full House gal.
Yeah, Full House. She got in trouble for like the college admissions stuff.
She's fresh out of jail, isn't she?
Yeah, so she's on this season. And the whole joke is that she's just like scamming all
everybody.
And like, dude, it was super funny. Like, I don't. Awesome. Like, I'm not going
to
spoil it for you.
I can't believe like that they had the balls to reach out to her and be like, hey, do you want to make fun of yourself super hardcore on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
See, I think it's more like this. I feel like it's more like Larry David is at the golf course and then he runs into Lori Loughlin and then she's like, yeah, dude, it was bullshit. I was in jail.
Yep.
And he's like, that's fucked. Do you want to like come be on my show?
Yeah.
Like, we'll just like make fun of it. And she's like, yeah, why not? Like, to me,
probably exactly how it happened.
Yeah. To me, this show is Curb Your Enthusiasm. I know it was first, so I'm not trying to pretend it's like copying something that probably copied it. But Curb Your Enthusiasm is just Entourage. With way less structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just hanging out with mild celebrities and celebrities, and he's just, like, doing a funnier version of his own life.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this season, knowing it's the last one, it feels really rewarding. And all of the little cameos and all of the things that they're doing, it just is, like, one last run with Larry David. And I can't imagine, other than we did pitch that they come back and they do one last, like, few episode Seinfeld HBO show, which mm-hmm. I think they still have in them.
Right, like scripted.
And I think there's, like, people that would want to watch that, too.
Oh, I think I would if it was... Yeah.
Like, if they gave us a four episode...
Just a little short little...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yep, just four episodes with all the original cast, and Larry David's the back writing it and stuff. Like,
maybe, like, George actually gets married this time or something like that. Just give us a little arc. Yeah,
so
that would be fantastic.
I just think that, like, other than that, though, I don't know how much Larry David there's going to be in our lives the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. So he's just has been so funny and so important to Hollywood for so long that I'm just trying to, like, savor these last episodes, even if, like, they do the dumbest stuff.
I want to be the fly on the wall in that conversation between Nathan Fielder and Larry David last night at the after show at the Oscars.
That happened?
I saw the picture.
Really?
They're both leaning on the bar. They're both looking over at something.
Wow.
I don't know what they were talking about. There's no context to it, but I'm like, man.
I'd pay more money for Max if they did something together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, they're both HBO, right?
Yeah,
didn't because I think Nathan Fielder's Fielder
over for Showtime,
he got Paramount, yeah, Showtime, Paramount, whatever. So yeah, that's interesting. That is, I'm into that.
All right, and then we're both Adam and I are both watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith. You finished it?
I finished it.
I'm pretty deep. Is it eight episodes?
I think it is eight episodes.
So I'm through six.
I think I was disappointed that it wasn't 10.
Mm. Oh, that's it. Right. Okay.
So the first four episodes I loved. And I think that Erskine, is that her name?
Maya Erskine.
Maya Erskine. Mm-hmm. I think she is a star. I do. I think she's an absolute star. And by the way, Maya Erskine, a little callback for you, is the star of Blue Eye Samurai.
Shut up.
She does the main voice.
Yes. Okay, now I'm definitely.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I think she is such a star. I'm all in on what she's doing. I think that the backlash that's happened to Donald Glover is a little much.
Hurting the show, maybe even.
I think everyone's like so annoyed with him for no reason. He's harmless.
Yeah, I don't really know what the issue is.
I feel like people are just kind of annoyed with him.
I think that right they now. Just heaped so much praise on him for so long for every decision that like then when he kind of came, down to earth or whatever, it was, I don't know.
People
just
are like,
decided to turn on
him. I feel like everyone's a little tired of him right now, but I don't think it's fair. I think he's really good on this show. I think he's funny. I think that the show just doesn't take itself too seriously, and I think that's kind of what he's being accused of. And so far, through six episodes, even though five and six were a little boring, I really am enjoying it, and I really enjoy their chemistry, and I like that the show is like kind of silly and kind of like deep about love and relationships and partnerships and friendships. And it also can get like pretty real and pretty violent fast at the same time. And it just feels like a classic action movie done in a really clever way.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I think one of the best parts is like, you know, this is an action movie where you're like really into it in the beginning, like right off the bat. And you're like, man, I could watch 8 hours of this. And perfect, yeah. It's a TV show. So, mm-hmm. And the acting is incredible. The storyline is really great. I agree 100%. Just falls a little flat. Episodes 5 and 6 picks right back up.
Okay. 7 and 8. That makes me feel really good.
And the ending of the show is kind of like, what? Like, it's one of those great endings where it's like, what's going to happen next?
Okay.
And I think that's always one of those things that I really love about these, you know, TV shows that drop all at once, that you can watch every episode and be like, where's the 9th episode?
Yeah.
And it's like, mm-hmm. you gotta wait, buddy. But like, I like all the little things you said about like the love story and like, it's basically, you know, it's two people that are meeting. They've never met in each other's lives.
Yeah.
And
that part they did, I haven't watched all of it, but that part they did well.
I think they've crushed that. Like, I just think like, for how fast I'm supposed to believe. I know that these things are skipping ahead. Like they're like, oh, that mission was crazy. And that mission, you didn't see any of those.
Yes.
So I get that like time is moving faster than the show is.
Yeah.
But you're still expected to believe that they've like fallen in love with each other pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I do. I really think they kill this. So my,
you know who else they killed was Alexander Skarsgård in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, this show has Alexander Skarsgård. No, not really.
No, he's the same thing. I was like, wow, what's
that? I'm sick of the bait and switch on these. They do it all the time. They love to launch a show with like a big name and kill them off now. Ever since Game of Thrones did it with Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Which
Jason Bateman moved that show on HBO.
Oh my God, exactly. Eric, you bitch about this all the time. The Jason Bateman bait and switch.
What's that?
He wrote the show?
Yeah. Like that? God, it was really not great.
We need to figure it out. That show was
infuriating. It got worse and worse
so
and worse.
Outsiders? Is that what it is?
Maybe.
I was so mad. I was so angry about everything in that show.
He was like, so I was like, this show is fucking top TV. And then he died in the second episode and it got worse and worse.
He got like shot in the neck or something and then he died. And then that was just it.
Like an idiot. So, okay. You guys have sold me. I will finish Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I'll report back. Thank you.
I like it. I think it's
The Outsider.
Right.
Okay.
I like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I do. I think it's like pretty. I don't know that it's complicated, but I don't think it's trying to be. Like, mm-hmm. I think that they have some complicated conversations, but in reality, it's like, it's kind of like a love note to like action movies. And in the middle of it, they are just kind of like having some fun personality and a fun little relationship. And so I don't know. I like it. I think that I'm excited for season 2.
Okay.
Agreed. Recommend. Sweet.
All right, and then finally, we're going to just dive into Dune 2 one more time.
Yeah,
we got a lot of requests. We got people requesting us. People were saying we want more Dune content. And so, Adam, you saw Dune for the second time last night.
I did. I just couldn't get enough.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. No, my mom, also a Dune fan, and she hadn't seen it yet. And I'm like, let's go. Giddy up. Let's go see it again. And, man, it's got staying power. I mean, you could see it in the box office with their numbers. I mean, it didn't drop off very much. I mean,
right.
It was like a 44% drop off for a blockbuster like that, which is pretty good staying power.
That is impressive. That shows how many people are going to see it multiple times. Yep.
And you could tell in the theater, like, people have seen it before.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't the only one there that's seen it multiple times. Man, it's just such an absolute epic movie experience. And I've said this before to a couple other people. This is probably one of the best cinema experiences I've ever had.
So let's go full spoiler, okay? Yeah. As a heads up to anybody listening. Looking back now, second time, what sequences were you excited about? And then which ones delivered? How did the rankings change of cool-ass parts of the movie? Like, what hit you even harder the second time?
Good question. I mean, the opening scene, absolutely. Crushed.
Where they
harder.
Float down from the ship.
Oh,
Jesus,
and then
what a
float
shot.
Up the mountain. Like,
yeah.
Fucking awesome. Yep. Like, I was, you know, so, like, kind of into, like, the Dune-ness when I got there the first time that I wasn't kind of fully enjoying everything, because mm-hmm. now I know the story. I can like focus on all the cinematography.
Sure.
And it was just so much more epic, that opening scene. And then the harvester scene, which was one of the best scenes in the movie. I mean, everybody knows the epic ending, mm-hmm. but like
yeah.
that harvester scene where they, where him and Shani go in there and they just start fucking crushing people and
yeah.
take out the bumblebee fucking flying around. Like, so fucking cool to like see how that all mm-hmm. goes. And the little bit of comedy that they add in there where he's just like running. Oh shit.
He,
like,
yeah. He mistimes yeah, it, which, yeah. which is great. Like, what a great decision in that moment to be like, audiences won't expect this because yep. they're getting one tone and now they're going to get a different one.
I thought that overall, I thought that they did an incredible job with comedy in this movie.
There was some like funnier parts than you realize.
It wasn't yeah. like a comedy by any means, mm-hmm. but there just were enough like little things that made the whole theater chuckle and laugh
oh.
that I really liked that. I thought that for something that was serious and probably could be dry at points, I thought especially,
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem, yeah, his stuff. He was so funny.
Stilgar was perfect.
Everything he did, yeah. he was a serious character.
Nut. You yep. just love it.
he was a serious character, but he still was like the comic relief of the movie
yep.
in all of the most perfect ways. And so I thought like they did comedy so well in something that it could have been overkill, and mm-hmm. it never was.
Yeah. And like, I tried to find a spot where I could go out and get a drink. Like you know, like, oh, I finished my pop here. I want to go get a little bit more. I'm like, fuck, it's really hard
yeah.
to pick the spot that I'm going to get out of this. Because I'm like, oh, maybe it's when they go to Getty Prime. And I'm like,
no, that's cool.
Nope, it's so fucking cool. Especially like now, like digging into more and just understanding like, why is it black and white? Like, that's the color of their sun. And
yeah.
that's why the whole scene's are that color.
Yeah.
And you see it when like they're kind of watching like the Bene Gesserit come out of wherever they were.
Yeah.
And they're like in color and then they go black
oh,
and white.
I didn't
and
know like, that.
It's fucking awesome seeing that transition. It's like, what? How did they do that? It's really, it's seamless. It's not like a line down the middle. It's so blendedly
cool.
Blendedly good. Okay. I don't.
blendedly good.
I'm trying to not get. Designer now, right? I'm trying to not get too many spoilers for what's going to come next, because I haven't read anything. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I know nothing beyond this movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that as well.
Okay, that makes me feel better. Do you have any idea if they are going to have the Harkonnens? I know like the Harkonnen main people are toast, but are we going to be back at that planet ever again, do you think?
I think so. I mean, it's all the great houses. You can see how many people live on that planet.
Yeah.
And all their,
God, I love the scale. Isn't that important to show a giant group of people everywhere?
Absolutely.
We're talking about planets versus planets. So.
And that's what Villanueva does so well.
God, he does it. Yeah.
Scale.
Yeah.
Like Arrival, it's the exact same thing as mm-hmm. seeing this massive little acorn come down. Like, what the hell is this thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible seeing the scale and how many people are actually there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can't forget about them. It's like, they're still there. Mm-hmm. There may be, you know, that next in line. Who's the next in line
yeah.
to, you know, take over, fight, whatever it was. But then you have all these other houses. And it's like, what the fuck are they going to do next?
Mm-hmm.
I know that from my light reading that the books get a little wild. But, like, apparently things go really dark really quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
all I know.
I do think, though, that,
according
like,
to the visions that, you know, like billions die. Okay, well, now they'll make a movie about that. So
I just wonder, though, like, I think that they're going to, I mean, I could be wrong, but I just feel like they are going to want Chalamet to have some kind of redeeming moments, even if he is headed in the wrong direction. And I think like that's what people are going to be looking for, and I feel like that's what they're gonna have to take any pieces of those redeeming moments and mm-hmm. put them in the next movie, because he's just as electric as it gets.
Oh, I mean, all these actors and actresses, there, and you can see the next generation of good actors.
I
mean,
yeah,
this is coming,
I know.
Coming
that's a great
up
point.
This entire movie.
That's a great point.
I mean, every single one is a standout.
Yeah.
And I saw some jokey things today about like the Oscars for next year, and it's literally every single thing.
I know. I was thinking about that when I was doing my guesses for predictions for this year, and I'm like, Dune would win this, Dune would win this, Dune would win this, and it just might, you know. But yeah, I mean, so last week Eric was talking about how, like, forget about Luke Skywalker. We have Paul Atreides.
Mm-hmm. That's my new belief.
And I like that, but I think he's more Anakin in that he meant well. He's, you know, supposed to be somebody that's going to fix everything. And I think he's going to go very dark for a very long time. And he may have, Eric, his redeeming moment where he throws the Emperor down the pit and dies.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is that
I... You know, he died, as we know, according to the sequels, or the I guess it was the prequels at that time. He died a Jedi and was able to come back as a Jedi ghost. But...
Well, I just want you to know that I firmly would follow Paul into the darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have seen enough. Any doubt in this movie?
Sound like a meme.
Yeah. Any doubt? Yeah. Any doubt in this movie? Anytime anyone showed any doubt, I found myself being like,
"Yeah,
like that's what I was like,
idiot."
That's what I was feeling in the theater. Like
Johnny,
people would be like, "Why should we follow you?" And I'd be like, "I don't know. He just took this ragtag bunch of losers and just took down the entire fucking empire. Like, what are we talking about? What do you mean? Why should we follow him? He literally took people who had lived and were drinking like people's piss and sweat, and was like, "Let's take down the entire emperor and the Harkonnens at the same time." He could have taken out the Harkonnens.
I love how you're so liberal on this planet and so conservative in Arrakis. It's actually amazing.
Yeah, but you know, like what? Like it's the same way I feel in Star Wars. Like I think we would all think we had all this free will, but we'd all be like, those pesky Jedi are so yeah. terrible. Yeah. Those terrorist Jedis.
Yeah. They're so fucking woke.
Yeah.
Like, I can't fucking do that.
I would be like, I think I would be living in the Empire being like, I mean, they're sending aid to other planets.
Does security
right?
mean nothing?
That's good shit. So I really want to see this movie again. I want to go to the theater in Woodbury. I don't even remember what it's called. The Draft House.
Alamo. Okay,
I
want
to go
it.
There. They have specific Dune food. I think we need to eat those. And I think we need to like order all of them and maybe even do a review on the Dune food.
That would be great. We could do that. Yeah, we'll just get there early, eat up the food, live stream it.
Yeah.
It's yeah. like a corn
sounds like a
dog
good day.
Coming out of macaroni and cheese.
And ultimately, at one point, you do realize you're paying $23 for corn dogs and mac and cheese. It's fucking good, though.
All right. Well, guys, that's it. That's all the time we have. Thanks so much to Adam for coming on to our episodes this week. We had such a great time. And go back, check out our sportscast. We talked all about NFL free agency, everything you need to know about the Vikings and their future. And we even had a little Packer talk for our guy Adam here. But otherwise, until next time, thank you guys for hanging out with your best friends here at the Movies Podcast.